What the hell was that?
Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me?
Hello?
Yeah. Are you there?
We gotta get rid of this coop. I got an idea.
Greatness at its finest.
Welcome to the Rodcast.
Wonder who that could be.
On the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260.
Come on, why you want to play a brother like that?
And hornfm.com.
Is there a problem back there?
With the Longhorns play and Austin talks sports.
Welcome back to the Rodcast. We're hanging out here at Big 12 Media Days, the Star in Frisco, courtesy of Reliable Automotive. We may be joined by some special guests coming up all throughout the show. I know my man Hogan, he's scrambling, trying to get some folks over here to come talk to us about Big 12 Media Days. Also, my man BK is around here hanging out, trying to gather up some of the big names for us to talk to. So we may have some special guests. If not, we will be heavy Texas football, of course, here at Big 12 Media Days. We've talked a lot about Texas. We'll talk about the entirety of the Big 12 a little bit and go through the Big 12 landscape and talk about why it's such a monumental year in the Big 12, why it's such a this year is such an outlier in so many different ways. So we'll get into that, too, coming up a little bit later on the show. The big conversation that Longhorn fans like to get into, the awkward, unfortunate conversation, is about the quarterback position. So we'll talk some Texas quarterback. Haven't gotten to the quarterback position yet, because usually when we dive into the quarterback position, it takes up the entire rest of the show. All right, you can't talk Texas quarterback situation without going deep. Almost a little too deep. So we'll do that. All right. We'll get into Sam Ellinger, Shane Buechele, the debate, which rages on and continues. By the way, Lincoln Riley has said today, and he continues to state this. I've seen it tweeted out by several different writers and several different Big 12 members of the media, that he has not named a starting quarterback yet. So officially, the Oklahoma Sooners do not. They have a quarterback competition, if you ask Lincoln Riley. Most of us believe that that is fake news, that there is not a real quarterback competition going at Oklahoma, that conjecture, that's rumor. That's him just putting up a good front to keep the quarterback competition going, but it does show you that the uncertainty right now as it relates to the quarterback position in the Big 12 is an area of concern for everybody. Now, I think Lincoln Riley, and I know Lincoln Riley will end up announcing Kyler Murray at one point as the starting quarterback, or he'll be the starting quarterback, but just the, and I feel the same way about Sam Ellinger, but just Lincoln Riley putting the that message out there that no, there's a quarterback competition going on. That is him talking to his quarterbacks, number one. So he's telling that to Kyler Murray, and even if it's through the media. And also, I think he's talking to his team, and it's kind of a message to the team about where they are. He doesn't want any entitlement on that team. So I understand where Lincoln Riley's coming from, but we all believe that Kyler Murray is going to end up being the starting quarterback. He's one of the greatest athletes ever played the quarterback position in the Big 12, in the history of the Big 12. You got to put like him and RG3 and Vince Young in the same conversation in terms of raw athleticism. Those boys are just freaks. My man Seth Golden coming over, looking clean. All right, looking clean. Seddy Bear, as we like to call members of the media. It's kind of a family affair here, too, at Big 12 Media Day. So randomly, I'll just stop talking and go say what's up to somebody. But it's one of those things, the quarterback position here at Texas. When Texas is good, the quarterback is playing at a really, really high level. And not just, you know, at a level where, oh, he's a competent quarterback and he is a, you know, he's a capable starting quarterback. When Texas is good, the quarterback position is exceptional, usually. Now, that could change under Tom Herman, but that's usually the case. And when Texas has a legitimate starting quarterback, when he has embraced that natural leadership position, and when that quarterback knows that it is his team, that quarterback will be invited to Big 12 Media Days when there is no doubt who the starting quarterback is going to be. The fact that Texas did not invite a starting quarterback means there is doubt. Now, it may be minuscule doubt, but there is reasonable doubt about who's going to be a starting quarterback at Texas. And Longhorn fans don't want to hear that because they've talked about the quarterback hell Texas has been in for the last 7 years since Colt McCoy left the 40 acres. But the good news is, since I see I'm spitting out a bunch of bad news, here's the good news, all right? The good news is that Texas has the deepest quarterback position in the Big 12. deepest quarterback position in the Big 12. And it's crazy to think that if you're a Longhorn, because you're so used to the pessimism of being quarterback hell, that the quarterback position is as healthy as it's been since 2009. You have a guy who started 12 games for you a season ago in Shane Buechele. Then you have a young up-and-coming quarterback with a really high ceiling in Sam Ehlinger. The truth is, you're going to need them both. You're going to need them both. Last year in the Big 12, I brought this stat up earlier this year. Nine out of the 10 teams in the Big 12 ended up playing more than one starting quarterback. Now, some did it for speciality reasons. There were, you know, situational plays. That's where Kyler Murray comes in. There were situational plays for Kyler Murray, how Lincoln Riley would use him in different formations and different personnel packages. Much how Texas used Tyrone Swoops when he was part of the 18-wheeler package. But you go look all across the Big 12, whether you're talking about Kansas or Iowa State or Texas or Texas Tech. Everybody in the Big 12 had to use or maximize their quarterback depth. And if you're telling me that every team, at least Oklahoma State is the one team that didn't do it. So you're telling me that 9 out of the 10 teams, 90% of the Big 12, you're going to have to have your backup quarterback win one game for you. And I don't know if it's going to be a crucial game in the Big 12. I don't know if it's going to be early on in a non-conference. We don't know if it's going to be the bowl game, whatever. With this season, your backup quarterback's going to have to go out there and pull one out for you. No team is in a better position to have success in that situation than Texas. You know what I mean? So, knock on wood. I think this table is wood. Knocking on wood. Something happens to Sam Ehlinger. Something happens, you know, where he is not achieving or he is not progressing and he is not evolving. Well, you got a starter behind him who started an entire season and who also is a quarterback who probably could start for, I don't know, 50% of college football programs right now. And you can put that guy out there and feel confident and secure that the drop-off won't be significant. If there is a drop-off, hell, he may be better, period. And that's the thing. You don't know which one of these guys is going to be better in the end until they play. That's why practice is a fugazi. When it comes to evaluating quarterbacks, practice is a fugazi. It's a fugazi. You can't believe it. Because until the fit hits the shan with a quarterback, until they got to deal with that pressure, until they know they're going to get hit. You know what? This is what obsesses me about quarterbacks in practice. They're all great in practice because they know they can't get hit. Imagine how good you can play a position if you know you're not going to get hit. So in practice, man, of course, those quarterbacks are great. They all look fantastic in practice. It's hard for right, and that's a good thing, but it's hard for Tom Herman to identify where the separation is because in practice, man, all those guys are out there looking like all Big 12 candidates. They look fantastic because they know they're not going to get hit. What did Mike Tyson say? Everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth. So you got to figure out which one of these quarterbacks is good after they get punched in the mouth. And a lot of people believe, and I think both of these guys have a lot of testicular fortitude. I'm a big Shane guy, but I've said I think Sam Ehlinger is going to end up winning the starting quarterback job because he's more compatible with the offense. What do I say about quarterbacks? Picking a quarterback is like picking a significant other. The woman you marry is not the hottest woman you ever dated. She was the one that was right for you. Don't tell my girlfriend I said that, but that's just the truth, all right? And that goes vice versa for women, too. The man that you marry is not the hottest man you ever dated. It was the one that was right for you in that situation. And the same thing is true for the quarterback position. You know, Craig Way came on, voice of Longhorns, and talked about Super Bill Bradley battling James Street. Super Bill Bradley was the number one athlete in the in terms of football in the country at the time. And he was the quarterback. And everybody thought he was going to be the preeminent starter, and Texas was going to go on to win national titles with Super Bill Bradley at quarterback. Turns out he ends up being one of the best DBs to ever come out of DBU. And James Street ends up winning the job, but he was a better fit for what DKR wanted to do, compatibility. And we've seen that time and time again. I remember Jevin Snead and Colt McCoy were going at it. Jevin Snead had the big arm, big rocket arm, and had the NFL size, and it's kind of an NFL prototype. Yet Colt McCoy came out of summer conditioning. He had won over the team. Apparently, Mac Brown started asking the guys, hey, who you think got a hold of that starting quarterback position? Who do you think's going to win it? And all the guys were telling them, oh, Colt, this is Colt's team. It ain't Jevin's team. Colt has won this job. This is Colt's team. And I think I actually hear a lot of that with Sam Ehlinger with this team, too, that, you know, the guys are saying that it's Sam's team. When they talk about winning the Big 12 title, when they talk about celebrating, Breckenhager says, you know, Sam's going to have to cut my golden locks when we win the Big 12 title. You know, there's a lot of talk about how Sam's won the locker room. And even, you know, Tom Herman, the style of play that he wants from his team, you know, you can see it. Really, the epitome of it, really, you can see it in Sam Ehlinger's style of play. I criticize Sam Ehlinger's style of play, saying it was, I call him Bam Bam Sam, and at times it's reckless. I'm going to say it's irresponsible, but he has a reckless abandon with the way he runs the football. And, you know, I think at times he's got to adjust his style or he's going to end up getting hurt, knock on wood. You don't want that to happen for the young man. You'd like him to be able to stay healthy and go through an entire season. To do that, he's going to have to become a smarter runner, more responsible runner. But, you know, Kim Kardashian, Nicki Minaj size butt here, Tom Herman liked that. That actually, you know, I think that attracted Tom Herman to his playing style. Remember Tom Herman was asked, I was like, man, Tom Herman, are you worried about your quarterback taking all these hits and trying to run over linebackers? And Tom Herman was like, no, I love it. He smiled. Like, he got all giddy about it. So that talks about compatibility. He wants his quarterback to be a little Tim Tebow light. I'm scared when I see Sam Ehlinger trying to run over linebackers in the, you know, on the second level in the defensive backfield. Tom Herman is giddy about it. So compatibility. And also, we talked about the dual threat aspect of it. Shane Buechele has functional mobility. He can move around. Sam Ehlinger is a dual threat quarterback. There's a difference. There's a difference between functional mobility and the dual threat element of it. And a dual threat quarterback can spark the running game on his own. A dual threat quarterback can really kind of materialize a running game out of nothing. That's what Sam can do. And he does it with improvisational ability. He does it with him being a threat in the backfield. That means defensive ends can't tee off on him. They got to change their pass rushing lanes and the way they the way they contain the pocket. They don't have to do that with Shane as much because of his functional mobility. You lose contain on Sam Ehlinger, and you might give up 20, 25 yards. So he can make something out of nothing. Texas may need that this year if their running game is as poor as it was last year. So, you know, and I think Shane Buechele with a running game, possibly with a running game, with a competent, consistent running game like he had in 2016 when Deontay Foreman was his running back rushing for 2,000 yards and Texas led college football in play-action passes, I think that situation you could have where Shane Buechele could end up being a more effective quarterback than Sam Ehlinger if butts, candies, nuts, if he's got the running game. That's a big old if. Because last year Texas was eighth in the Big 12 in yards per rush, they were. I think the leading rusher was Sam Ehlinger with 381 yards. That's the lowest total for a leading rusher for Texas football since 1958. It was bad. It was ugly. UGLY, no alibi. That running game was abysmal, and that's why everything collapsed after that. And I think Texas can get the running game back to where it can be a threat. But Shane Buechele is not going to be an effective passer without that running game. He needs it. Sam doesn't need it. Sam thrives in chaos more so than Shane. And that offense, until they are able to rebuild it and until they're able to establish an identity on offense, it's going to be chaotic. We don't know what the offensive line is going to be. We don't know what the running back position is going to be. You know what I mean? Like, the kicker is going to be new. There are so many question marks that Sam Ehlinger thrown in there. He can make something out of nothing. He can manufacture yards, manufacture points, keep the chains moving while you figure it out. I think Shane needs structure. That's why that Sterling Gilbert veer and shoot offense, he was great. He had more structure. He had a running game, so he had an identity. That structure. He thrives with structure around him. Sam doesn't need that. Sam literally, I think structure may hurt him. It's kind of a wild stallion. You don't want to, you know what I mean? You don't want to whip him too bad. You don't want to take that out of him. You like that wild stallion in him. You know what I mean? I think that Tom Herman likes that unpredictability as a part of it. But, you know, you got two quarterbacks. And I would say having two quarterbacks, and I was on the 40 Acres when you had the Chris Sims major upright quarterback controversy for a coach juggling two quarterbacks like juggling two women. And it's thrilling at times. It can be, I'm sure it's really, really fun at times. And you feel on top of the world at times. But when it goes bad, it can go really, really bad. And for Tom Herman, I think he's just trying to keep that balance and strike that balance between these guys. And it's smart. I mean, the truth is, Texas has used two quarterbacks every year but one since Colt McCoy left. So was that six out of the last 7 years Texas has used two quarterbacks? In my prediction, they'll probably use two again this year. Everybody in the Big 12 other than Oklahoma State used two quarterbacks for injury concerns or situational concerns or whatever. So it seems to me that, you know, Texas is in the best position. Texas has not been this healthy at the quarterback position in a really, really long time. So I'm happy, actually, about the quarterback situation. Either way it goes, I feel like the right choice will be made. Texas is in a situation where if Shane Bouchel's the starting quarterback, he's coming off, I mean, he's an experienced quarterback coming off a year of being a starter a year ago before Sam Ellinger comes into the picture. And then you got Sam, who has the really high ceiling. So that right now, if you look at the Big 12, I think, you know, K-State might be in that position too. But who has more depth in Texas at quarterback? Nobody. And this is a quarterback conference. So that's one of the reasons people are high on Texas for the first time in a long time. You got four scholarship quarterbacks in that room. You are no longer in quarterback hell. You're in quarterback purgatory. You're right there in the mix of it. But it's better than being in quarterback hell, where Texas has been for a long, long time. And the truth is, Texas, this offense is only going to go as far as the quarterback position, because we all agree the most talented position on the 4 acres for Texas is the wide receiver position. You can't maximize those wide receivers unless you got your quarterback is playing at a really high level. And if Sam Ellinger can't deliver the ball to Lil Jordan Humphrey or Colin Johnson, both of those guys have potential to be all conference players this year, then their contribution will be minimized and the offense will be less threatening and less prolific as a result of it. So the quarterback position has to take huge strides this year. If we are still in a quarterback competition by midseason, then Texas program probably is taking a step back. If one guy separates himself from that pack and there is no longer a quarterback competition, it's truly somebody has become the starter and taken hold of that starting quarterback position, then that means that Texas is probably on their way to being a 9-win team. If Texas is switching quarterbacks midseason, there's no way they're going to be on the way to winning 9 games. They're just going to struggle too much. That means they're struggling. That means whoever won the starting quarterback job, that didn't work out. They had to go to plan B or maybe go to plan C. Like I said, the same thing about Tom Herman calling the plays. I don't want Tom Herman calling the plays because that means the fit has hit the shan. Tom Herman's calling the plays by midseason. That means Tim Beck has probably gotten fired. That means Herb Hand's gotten promoted and it didn't work. That means Drew Maringer probably called a couple of plays and that was a disaster. If that happens, that means everything that Tom Herman visualized for the program went off the rails. So I don't know if I want that. I'd much rather Texas, you know, if Texas is doing really well offensively and they're progressing and developing at a nice rate and Tim Beck's shown some improvement and they have an identity, Tom Herman's offensive, I'll say his adaptations over time, all right, the way the offense has evolved over time, the pro spread, as he likes to call it, you know, I think in that case, you know, Texas will be on their way to winning 9 games, meeting that expectation level. If not, like I said, this thing could go, it could go boom or bust and more bust if the quarterback situation doesn't progress exponentially. And then after that, really the quarterback situation, it will go to hell in a handbasket and probably will determine what happens with the offensive coordinator. So if the quarterback position is playing well, then that means they figured out who the starter is. That starter has really kind of taken a stranglehold of the position and we're no longer having the quarterback competition and discussion. And then whoever the OC is probably high on life at that point because the offense is playing really well. Because if there's no quarterback competition conversation, then that means the offense is doing really well. So, you know, I know a lot of people out there want they want Tom Herman to call them the plays, and, you know, some people would rather have, you know, Shane and then Sam and vice versa. But whatever Tom Herman decides at the beginning of the year, and I got to give him credit because if he has to make adjustments and change things, I'm sure he will. That's why he hired Herb Hand, the offensive line coach. He changed the wide receiving coaching staff. He also, you know, brought in graduate transfers to infuse some talent where they didn't have as much talent running back on the offensive line. So I'm sure he'll make the necessary adjustments. He won't wait too long like Charlie did, which is why Longhorn fans You know, they kind of seen the Charlie thing, the foreshadowing of it happening, because Charlie, he acted like he had a lot of time. You know what I mean? There was no sense of urgency to make moves with Charlie Strong. And I don't think that's the same issue with Tom Herman. He made adjustments in the offseason. I think he doesn't want to have these kind of wholesale, like, overhauls with the coaching staff, at least not early on. That doesn't look good. So the quarterback position, you're going to need both of these guys. You know, it's just the way it is. No matter who ends up winning the quarterback position, I think it'll be Sam in the end. Because Sam gives you more options to be successful offensively. If the play breaks down, which it often will with Texas because the offensive line's not up to par, or the wide receivers can't get open, or, you know, the running back can't make one guy miss, or whatever it may be, Sam gives you the best chance to make something out of nothing. And offensively in the Big 12, with these teams scoring 35, 40 points, I don't know if Texas can keep up with that. You may just need someone that can keep your defense fresh, control the ball, control the line of scrimmage, and maybe even control the clock and win games with defense and special teams. That's what they did last year. That was the formula last year. I think Texas is hoping they don't have to rely on such a rudimentary formula to win like they did last year. They'd like to be able to score points. They'd like to have different – they'd like to win in different ways. Last year, Texas won all the same way. Defense, special teams. That's how they won usually. You like to get to a situation where, you know, if your defense doesn't show up or your special teams isn't outstanding, you can still go out there and win games with your running game, dominating the line of scrimmage, your quarterback making big plays in the passing game, different things. Championship teams, go look at the resume of how they get to that championship game and their success. They usually have three or four different ways that they've won games that year. Because when teams try to take away your strength, when they try to make you beat them left-handed, you got to find some way to do that. And Texas last year, they weren't able to do that enough. And if you can take away what Texas does well. And that's the thing about it. We don't even know what Texas does well yet. And that's the thing you're hoping. That's what your identity is. Something you do as well, if not better, than everybody else. What is that for Texas? What's the one thing on offense they do as well, if not better, than everybody else? That is the identity. They don't have that. And honestly, they haven't had that for six out of the last 7 years. 2 years ago, it was Deontay Foreman. That's what they did really well. He was a beast, and he was unstoppable. They got to find that. They don't have that game-changing presence to do that, that transcendent talent like Deontay Foreman was. Then you got to do it schematically, and you got to do it with your philosophy. And then that's going back to Tom Herman and Tim Beck and that group. So you're hoping Keontae Ingram coming to the mix. You know, he's a guy that doesn't just move the chains. He changed the game. Lil Jordan Humphrey, Colin Johnson. You're hoping these guys are game breakers. They can break games wide open. You get the ball in their hands, and I think the wide receivers can do that, but they need the quarterback to assist them in getting the ball in their hands so they can make a lot of plays. How that offense may look, that is something that we'll talk about and discuss coming up next, how the offense with Texas may look. All that and more right here. This is the Rodcast right here on the Horn, 104.9 and AM 1260. All right, welcome back to the Rodcast here at Big 12 Media Day. It's getting a little crowded up in here. Next time, I'm really upset I didn't bring my football, man. There's enough space here where you can throw around a football. And this is how you know the media. You know, there's not a lot of athletes out here because nobody brought a football. I didn't drive my car. I got a football in my trunk, cleats. I still got my old cleats. I'm just ready for somebody to spark up a random football game in a parking lot somewhere and go out there and represent. You know what I mean? Like, you got to be ready at all times. All right, but here at Big 12 Media Days, here at the Star at in Frisco, courtesy of our good friends at Reliable Automotive, I want to thank them for helping hook us up to get up here. And we'll have, like I said, interviews coming up a little bit later. It might get interrupted on the show, and got a problem with that. Got all the mascots hanging out here. See? Yeah, boom. Texas Tech mascots walking around with guns. I got to tell you, not very politically correct these days. I'm pretty shocked they're letting you do that, though. There you go. See? I would say mascots like me. I don't know what it is. I used to do high school football, and the mascots would always come up to me. I do sideline work. They'd come up to me and hang out and kick it. And I found out later, and this is when I started like rejecting mascots. Like, I used to get mascots to come up to me I did high school football, and they'd come up and hang out, and they'd want to have kind of, they'd mess with me and, you know, play little games and stuff with me. And then I found out, and I did not know this, at least half the mascots, at least the ones in high school, they're young ladies, young girls. Like, I didn't know this. So I didn't want to be on the sideline, like, you know, it's like I'm hanging out and playing with somebody's daughter on the sideline, and I'm a grown man. So I had to start rejecting mascots because I didn't want the, you know, perception of impropriety or something inappropriate happening. So I was like, no. Because one of them took their their mask off one day, or their head off, and he was a young lady, and I was like, okay, you know what? No. Y'all can't be messing with me. I'm a grown man here to do a job, and y'all just messing around and stuff like that. So I didn't know that. I don't know how many of these mascots are women or men, but yeah, some reason mascots like it. Maybe it's just that, you know, I don't know what it is, but they always come up to me. Here at Big 12 Media Days, they always come hang out with me. Maybe mascots like black people. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's something about mascots liking black folks. Something we should do some research on. Okay, we'll talk about the Texas offense and how it's going to look. A lot of Longhorn fans don't know how it's going to look, and I think I have, or at least I know how it should look. I don't know how it's going to look either. I know how it should look, because you got now, you know, Herb Hand's going to have more of an influence on the offense. You also have, of course, Tom Herman. He's going to be working more with the offense, especially after that Texas Bowl. He said that, you know, he would have more of, you know, in his fingerprints on the offense. And, of course, you have Tim Beck, who's the offensive coordinator, the play caller. So we don't know how many chefs are in the kitchen. But we do know that the blueprint has changed a little bit as to how they're going to come up with the offensive game plan. But here's how I think the offense is going to look. Because when you're coming up with an identity of an offense, you come up with it two ways. Two ways you come up with an identity of an offense. Something you do really well, all right, as well as everybody else, if not better. And that usually comes about with a transcendent talent of some kind. So when Jordan Shipley and Colt McCoy here in 09, that was the identity. Right? That was a love affair we watched on a football field. That was, you know, we've never seen chemistry like that between a quarterback and a wide receiver. That was like, it was unbelievable. I mean, that was straight up. That was like, that was PDA half the time when you start Colt throwing to Jordan Shipley. I mean, that was just public displays of affection. It really was. I mean, that was a true romance. I would honestly, I think it's hard to find any wide receiver quarterback combo that was as prolific and as in sync as that group. It really was. I think Hookem sat down. See, I told you, mascots love black people. Just came down here and hung out with me. What's going on? See? Boom. Ew. And he got the handshake right. Man, Hookem, you the man. See, I appreciate that, Hookem. You are the man. See, Hookem just came out and he's gonna. Hookem, can you talk? Can you talk through that? Yeah. Hookem's trying to have an interview. Hookem, how many games Longhorns gonna win this year, Hookem? All of them? Every game? Okay. Hookem just said we're gonna win every damn game. Okay. Yeah. Boom. There you go. So, see, I appreciate that. Hookem is optimistic. There you go. Boom. Give me the pound. See. Okay. Is that our official handshake, or is that's me and you? Okay. Let's do it again. Boom. Okay, boom. Me and Hookem got a handshake. I think Hookem's black. I'm not sure, but he got the handshake right. He's not going to say which. And he's got a pimp stroll. I saw him with the pimp stroll. I think he's black. I'm not sure. It doesn't matter anyway. You know, the Rainbow Coalition. Can't we all just get along? All right, my man Stu Myrick here hanging out, too. It's a family affair out here at Big Time Media Day. Stu, how you doing, brother?
What's up, y'all?
Just wanted to, yeah, man.
I saw Hookem over here.
Hookem was just hanging out.
Getting a little bit of, get a little burnt orange rub from.
I was just telling
the
people.
The steam that, member of DBU.
I was just telling people that, I don't know why, mascots, they love me, man. You know, I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
They love me. Whether it's male or female mascots, they can't get enough of me, man. They come over, they want to feel on me and stuff. It's weird. They love me. They give me hugs.
You're just so cuddly.
I don't know what it is. Maybe I look like a mascot over here. Maybe I'm the mascot of the horn or something. You know what I mean? That could be it, too. So you've been here all day. You've seen a lot of stars.
I just walked in like maybe 15 minutes ago.
Oh, here you
I
go.
I just drove up from Austin. Had a work thing to do this morning, so I just drove up. I was here last year when they had it here, and it was, yeah.
I got to tell you, this is actually the best setup for Big 12 Media Days I've ever seen. Next year they're moving it to Jerry
right.
World.
I was talking to my man Kevin Simon from the team in Tyler, and yeah, they're moving it to Jerry World for 19 and 20.
It's going to be bigger and badder than this.
I mean, I'm trying to figure out, okay, this is nice, and I like this place.
I love this place, man. Jerry did a damn good job.
I'm good with because Jerry World's a little easier to get to.
Is it really?
I'm used to it because, of course, I cover all the home games.
That's right.
Home Cowboys games for the Horn, so I go there all the time. And it's easier for me to get to, and yeah, we're going to have all sorts of room. I'm hoping they have a setup like this where we're on the field.
I got
to
tell you, I'm upset I didn't bring a football. Right? Look at all this space.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, you know, nobody out here considers himself a real athlete anymore. Right. Nobody brought a football to Big 12 Media Days.
Well, it's one of those, you know, everybody, because everybody's so focused on making sure you get that one sound bite from Lincoln Riley or somebody.
I want to see, we did a mascot game out here. That's what we need to do for
They did last year, in fact, on day two.
We need a Big 12 mat. Maybe we'll get the Big 12 mascot media game, and somebody can play all-time quarterbacks. Joe Klatt's here. Have Joe Klatt come out and play all-time quarterbacks.
Hey,
Coach Wonstadt. Coach Wonstadt can coach the mascots. Yeah, we get this thing going, man.
Coach Wonstadt, always good to see him.
No, this is a great event. It's getting bigger and better. They know they got to contend with the SEC now because it's going on around the same time. So they got to make it bigger and better. They do because the SEC is the biggest and the baddest of media days. I just said I'd get into some Texas football discussion. Before I let you go, Stu, what's your prediction for Texas football? Because everybody's high on Texas this year. Vegas Wise Guys got them at about 8.5 wins, second best odds to win the Big 12. I think Bovada had that come out last week. Joe Klatt said he wouldn't be surprised if they won the Big 12. A lot of optimism. How about you?
There is a lot of optimism. I think part of that is, like everybody said, Big 12 is as open as it's been in last 5-6 years, at least.
Yeah.
We don't know what we're going to get out of Kyler Murray. We don't know what we're going to get out of the offense from Oklahoma. We don't know what we're going to get out of the offense for Texas, for that matter. Yeah. We have hopes. We saw what happened against Missouri at the Texas Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
It would not surprise me to see Texas at least get to the conference championship game.
Yep.
I would say 8 wins. 8 wins would make me happy. 9 wins would make me thrilled.
Yeah, I got them at 9.
And yeah, I think it's doable.
Yeah,
they've got a quarterback. We've heard all the talk. The quarterback, the offensive line. They gotta get a feature back. They gotta get a feature running back because they cannot have Sam Ellinger running the ball, or they can't have Shane Bouchel running the ball.
I was going to say, so you obviously have Sam as a starting quarterback then,
I think so. Yeah. But again, Sam hopefully has, resolved some of those mistakes he made last year.
Yeah.
Hopefully that was just youthful exuberance. We don't know, though, health-wise.
We don't know what we don't know.
Right.
Yeah, we can go through what we don't know, but we don't know what we don't know.
So
it's the Big 12 and Texas is a microcosm of it. It's the boom or bust. Texas can be a 10-win team. They could be a 6-win team, and nobody would be surprised.
That's right. That's right.
And no Longhorn fans go, 6 wins? Yeah, you know what?
Absolutely.
I could have seen that coming.
I'm going to let you get back to it. Yeah. I'll be here all day tomorrow with all the shows, and we'll get in all sorts of sound and everything. And
Stu's the real MVP, man. We're all getting on there, but Stu's the one sweating around here making it work. So we appreciate your efforts, Stu. You're the man.
Hey, I appreciate it.
But like Stu said, I think most Longhorns fans feel that way. You look at that way that schedule's open up at Maryland. You host Tulsa at USC. You host USC and Tulsa. Then you got TCU and K-State, the purple kryptonite. That's all before you get to OU. Brutal. First half of the season, I'll tell you everything you know about Texas. Okay, so how's the offense going to look? Everybody wants to know, how's the offense going to look? I think the offense is going to look – you remember the K-State game last year. Remember the K-State game. Try to visualize that K-State game from last year. Texas wins in overtime. Sam Ellinger actually made history that game. He had over 300 yards passing, over 100 yards rushing. He joined, I think, Colt McCoy and Gerard Hurd. It's the only quarterbacks in Texas football history to ever reach that stat line. That's right. Vince Young never did. It sounds crazy, but he didn't. I mean, that's kind of rarefied air that Sam Ellinger was playing in during that time period. So with K-State, here's a stat that I learned, going through the K-State film and going through the stats. That K-State game was the only game last year where Texas scored 30 or more points with no non-offensive touchdowns. Remember, they had 7 non-offensive touchdowns. So the only game last year where they scored more than 30 points with no non-offensive touchdowns was K-State. Took them overtime to do it, but they did it. It was also arguably Sam Ellinger's best game, all right? 300 yards passing, over 100 yards rushing. And in that game, you could see the blueprint. They used the passing game to set up the run, to open up the run, I should say. And it was a high percentage passing game. I think it was the highest percentage of yak yards or rack yards after the catch that game. Lil Jordan Humphrey and Reggie Hemphill Maps had big games, most of it yards after the catch. So they got the receivers, the balls in space, and let them kind of beat one-on-ones. And it was a brilliant game plan. It really was. And Texas didn't really have a running game, so they used play action pass early on. I always say you should use play action pass before anybody figures out you can't run the ball. If once they figure out you can't run the ball, nobody's going to respect your play action. So Texas was using their play action early on, and they were really, you know, passing the football to open up the run. And I think the offense is going to look like that next year until they figure out what Trey Watson's bringing to the table, how improved the offensive line is, and if they can run the ball. And I got no problem with that, because if you're passing to set up the run, then you're getting the ball in the hands of your most talented position, the wide receiver position. Lil Jordan Humphrey, Gerard Hurd, Colin Johnson. Hell, I looked up the Colin Johnson's, like, basically I looked up mock drafts from next year. I can't tell you how many mock drafts that have Colin Johnson being taken in the first round. I saw like six or seven that have Colin Johnson being taken in the first round. So people are really high on Colin Johnson. And everybody's just waiting on him to take that next step. But NFL scouts they're obsessed with him. I think he's great. I saw Matt Miller of Bleacher Report. He had Colin Johnson as his 19th pick in his mock draft of 2019. I saw CBS Sports also had him going in their mock draft early on. The Big Lead had him 26 to Carolina. Draft Blaster had him 26 to Atlanta. Walter Camp had him 16 to Philly. People are talking about him being a first-round talent wide receiver. Even when Texas was, you know, when was the last time Texas had a first-round wide receiver drafted? I got to go way, way back. And, I mean, I got to go do my own little research there. My point is, you know, that's a talent that Texas usually doesn't have. You got to maximize that, and that's how you do it early on. You use the passes, open up the run, and get those guys the ball early and often. And if you look at the stats for Sam Ellinger last year, and he's the second leading returning passer in the Big 12, but the stats from when he was throwing the ball, short range, when he was in that short passing game, he had the third best passer rating in the Big 12 on passes that were considered short passes. So he had a 101.4 passer rating. That's third best in the Big 12. Behind, I think, Kyle Kemp and actually Shane Buechele, when you're talking about passes that were 10 yards or less. So that's how you kind of get those yards after the catch going. That's how you can get him in a groove early on and kind of get him in a rhythm and get him confidence. And they're high percentage passes, so you reduce the risk. All right, but you improve your chances of success on the big play by getting the ball in the hands of Lil Jordan Humphrey. And you're going to use him in so many different ways. They're going to line this guy up as a flex tight end. They're going to line him up in the slot. They're going to line him up outside. Don't be surprised if you see him in the backfield. Lil Jordan Humphrey's going to be everywhere to try to find a matchup advantage that's kind of advantageous for Texas. And I truly believe that, you know, you're going to end up getting him matched up on safeties and linebackers, and that's probably going to be a check for Sam or Shane or whoever the starting quarterback is, that guy is matched up on a safety or a linebacker. Anybody other than a corner, find a way to get him the football. So I think that's how the offense is going to look. That K-State game from last year, my man Jeff Howe likes to bring up that 2008 offense when it did have Colt McCoy, but think about the wide receivers. Quan Cosby, Jordan Shipley didn't have a dynamic game-changing presence at running back. The offense was built around those two guys. You used, I think Buckner was like your flex tight end you would use at times. That's how Texas built that offense, and they do have two dynamic wide receivers. The quarterback position, I don't think it's going to be Colt McCoy level of play at the quarterback position. But if you can get anything close to that 2018, it did have Chris Obanaya in the backfield who had at least 30 rushes and 40 receptions in the season. That's the first time that happened since 1988, I believe, all right, in 2008. So we had a versatile running back. Trey Watson can be that versatile running back. You had two dynamic wide receivers. So you have that right now, too. You just got to fill in the stop gaps or fill in the blank, really, at quarterback, and that's a question mark. The offensive line in 08 wasn't great, though. It wasn't a dominant offensive line, and you don't have one here. So that's why my man Jeff Howe likes that comparison, too. So if you want to look at, or at least you want to project how the offense is going to look, what it may look like Kansas State this year, and it may look like 2008 a little bit as well. All right, we'll come back. We'll wrap it up. We'll put it in the oven live from Big 12 Media Days here at the Star in Frisco, brought to you by our good friends from Reliable Automotive. Right here on the Horn, 104.9 and AM 1260. All right, welcome back to the Rodcast. You can always hit me up via Twitter at Rod Babers. Time for a little crosstalk. I'm a man, Chad Hastings, ready to go back there at the Horn Studios. What's going on, Chad? How you doing, brother?
I'm good, man. How's Frisco?
Frisco is beautiful. I mean, it really is. I mean, it's. I got to give some props to Jerry Jones, man. He's that guy's just a marketing genius. I mean, I would come out here and just hang out. And I'm not a Cowboys fan, but I just come out. I take my woman to date night here. So they got spas and restaurants and bars. It's beautiful.
Right.
They just got places where you can throw the football around.
Did I ever tell you my favorite line about Jerry World from the late Burt Sugar, the boxing guy? Remember Burt Sugar?
Yeah, I know the name.
So they hosted they had a Pacquiao fight there, and we had him on. We were talking about it, breaking it down, and he said that when he saw Jerry World, he walked up to Jerry Jones and he said, "Jerry, this is what God would have built if he'd had more money."
That's a good line. Yeah. That is a great line.
Yeah, that's basically
Jerry
what
Jones
it is. Yeah, and now
Jerry
he's expanded
Jones appreciates
it.
That.
Yeah, exactly.
Jerry Jones appreciates that. He's like, "Oh, I got more money than God." that was always my hope. We're talking a ton of Texas football, brother, and I got to tell you, what we have discussed is how uncertain everything is in this league. There are way more question marks than answers for every team in the Big 12. And now I have decided that only Baylor and Kansas don't have a chance to win this league. Only Baylor and Kansas have zero chance to win this league. Everybody else, and I'm including Texas Tech in this too, because they might have the best defense in the Big 12 for the first time in the history of the program. We know Cliffy can coach quarterbacks, all right? Do you agree with that statement? I think only Kansas and Baylor are out of the conversation.
As I look at the standings from last year, I mean, those are 2-1-11 teams. So, yeah, I definitely take them out of the conversation. If we assume that Oklahoma is going to be in the discussion, and I'll even give Coach Patterson the respect and say, I think TCU is in the discussion. So if you take those two at the top and those two at the bottom, then by the simple math of it, you are talking about six teams right there in the middle, kind of scraping and scrapping for a lot of it. And two of the interesting guys to me today, Rod, were not only Cliff Kingsbury, but the guy that's taking a little bit of Cliff Kingsbury's wins right now, and that's Matt Campbell. Like,
yeah,
as I look at the schedule, I'm like, wait a minute. Not only did Iowa State beat you last year, Cliff, then they beat Oklahoma and TCU. So, and he almost lost his job if they don't beat Texas. So a guy like Matt Campbell, he's all a part of that middle of the conference. And if he can stay good where he is, then KK's in big trouble.
No, I agree with you. Is Matt Campbell giving Cliffy a run as the best-looking coach in the Big 12?
Ooh, now see, I think that's going to be a personal preference thing, because just when I think I know who my wife will think is good-looking as a man, then or my daughter, then I get totally, you know, like I said to my daughter a few weeks ago, "Hey, look, there's Brad Pitt. Don't you think he's good-looking?" She went, "Meh." She met Brad Pitt, so I have no idea.
High expectations. All right, brother. Chad and Kevin coming up next. We got to go. We'll be back tomorrow live from Frisco. Love you guys. Peace.